Manuscript Releases, Volume 21, Numbers 1501 to 1598. M.R. Number 1579. The Cases of Day, Stephen Haskell and Stephen Smith. Written December 27, 1858, from Battle Creek, Michigan. I was shown in vision while at Mansfield, New York, the state of things in the East, especially in the states of Vermont, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. I saw that the course of day, while among the messenger advocates, was cruel, crooked, and wicked, that people were composed of dissatisfied ones who would not bear reproof, but considered their judgment better than that of their brethren who had an experience in the truth and the cause of God. These unruly spirits came together and united together to work or fight against those whom God had raised up to stand in defense of his truth. Satan and his angels were at war with them, fighting against them, and these people were co-workers with Satan and the evil angels. Falsehoods and lies would be formed by Satan's children, and this people loved them and eagerly reported them to others. Day was one of these. If he did not make the lies, he loved them. I saw the angels of God grieved, and they followed their commission to mark every falsehood, every thrust, every stain put upon the defenders of God's truth. Every bitter feeling, every feeling of hate they were to record, for they would meet it again. I saw Day strengthening the hands of wicked men, trying to tear away the confidence of God's people in us and in the visions. Then I was shown that as the messenger people could not make their rebellious feelings and spirit do the work they wished it should, get down the review, they ceased in a measure from their work. Some gave up the Sabbath, others changed their evil course and fully united with God's people. Others did not see the wickedness of their course and never made thorough work or repented heartily of their evil work. Pardon was written against the names of those who made thorough work, but if they again fall into a like snare and pursue an evil course, all their past evil is remembered against them. Some, I saw, seemed to others to make thorough work, but that God who reads the heart knew that the seeds of rebellion were within them, and by their names was written, unstable souls, who wrest the truth to their own destruction. I saw that Day had never realized that he had been a close co-worker with Satan and his evil angels. If he had realized this, he would not have fallen into such a snare. I saw while attending the meeting at Lancaster that if Day made thorough work, he could still be of some use to fill in here and there. But God would never suffer him to take charge of his flock or to travel from place to place to any extent to talk the truth. If he lived a life of repentance from that time until Jesus comes, he could not undo the evil he had done. While at Mansfield, I saw that in no way should the least charge of the flock rest upon Day, for he had weakened himself by his former course in co-working with the evil angels, and he was weak and subject to their suggestions and evil power. The only chance for his salvation now was to live a life of repentance and be subject to the church, and not confide in his own judgment or opinion. I saw that a rebellious spirit has been within him, and when he could find a willing ear, how quickly would suspicion, jealousy, doubt, and an evil, lying report be poured into that ear. Oh, the evil course! Death has marked his track. I saw that if Day and others who have been connected with him could have drawn off a company with them, how quickly would it have been done, and there would have been a class worse than the former disaffected ones to work their work of death. But they find these things will not go, and they settle back, wishing to be again in union with the church, and ready at a fit opportunity to rebel again. I then saw Stephen Haskell and Wythe. Said the angel, "He is not sound in the faith. Mark them that cause division among you. An undercurrent is at work. They are co-workers with the evil angels and know it not. Confusion and a deathly orvie mark their track." I saw that the views that Stephen Haskell and his wife have advocated concerning mortifying the flesh are all erroneous, and will lead to deadly evils and the destruction of souls, and instead of increasing moral purity, will hasten and strengthen moral pollution. Said the angel, God reads the heart. I saw that S. Haskell has tried to make it appear that he was in union with the church, when it was not the case. He has scattered evil, error, and division every place he has entered, and this has been in a sly undercurrent that has been at work to destroy confidence in the visions and in those who have the charge of the work at Battle Creek.
These things are all marked by God. S. Haskell and his wife have strengthened the hands of Stephen Smith in his rebellion, and have strengthened the hands of other disaffected ones, and have affected some conscientious souls who were constantly fearful that they should not do everything they could to deny self. They have drunk down his errors that he has talked to them, and these errors have been scattered here and there all around where he has traveled, co-worker with the evil angels. I saw that as God gave his beloved sleep, so he was willing they should have nourishing, strengthening food. And I saw that if S. Haskell and his wife were baptized with the third angel's message, they would see enough precious, saving truth to dwell upon, and they would not have time to dwell upon error, dangerous error, and scatter it among God's people. I saw that if God has important truth, he will give it to his people, not to two or three solitary individuals and leave all the rest of his people in darkness. The third angel is leading out a people and fitting them for translation. They are to be purified through the truth. Some, I saw, had made crosses for themselves and killing duties that break down their will. But I saw that there were crosses and duties enough in God's word to slay every individual without getting new duties or tests. I saw that a time of trouble was before us when stern necessity will compel the people of God to live on bread and water, but I saw that God did not require his people to live so now. God commands that all whom he has not especially called to labor in word and doctrine should labor with their hands the thing that is good, and supply their own necessities, and have wherewith to bestow upon others. And I saw that it was the will of God that they should eat wholesome food to strengthen the system or the temple of God. But in the time of trouble, none will labor with their hands. Their sufferings will be mental, and God will provide food for them. I saw that God also enjoined cleanliness upon his ancient Israel, and God is no less particular now than he was then. He enjoins upon his people in the latter day strict cleanliness of body and clothing and purity of mind, of thoughts and of words, for he is to translate them to heaven. I saw that if Stephen Haskell had spent his time in laboring with his hands, which he has spent in traveling, it would have been much more pleasing to God. I saw that he had done much more hurt than two or three following after him could undo. Because evil grows of itself, and when once it has taken root, it thrives. But good has to be continually nourished and cherished in order to live. Evil is like weeds in a garden that need no nourishing but will grow rank. Unless the precious plants are constantly cherished and dug about, the weeds rise higher than the precious plants, shutting out the sun from them, and they grow sickly and die. I saw that those who sow error cannot root it up in years. They may perhaps change their course of action, but never can they bend or change the minds of those whom they have influenced in the wrong. Their errors are growing in the minds of others, and if Jesus is so merciful as to blot out the transgressions of those who have sown this seed and save them, they will suffer loss. They can but save their own souls. Their course has wounded the cause of God and brought shame upon the name of Jesus, and this is not easily wiped away. It lives in the minds of many. I saw the course Stephen Smith has pursued. He has been a co-worker with the evil angels. I saw that he was first a co-worker with the evil angels when he went into the spiritual Second Advent,
and then many other errors were received by him. The enemy has had easier access to him. Repeatedly, he has joined the enemy's ranks and strengthened the hands of the wicked. Every time he has fallen, he has grown weaker and was more easily again a subject to the temptations and power of the evil angels. I saw that he had taken a dreadful course against the defenders of God's truth. While he was in the new time, he ranted on, railed out against the truth and God's chosen servants. Bitter and cruel were his words. He spent his substance in the enemy's ranks and was a co-worker with the evil angels. As that excitement dies down, again he begins to reflect upon the truth, and finally the truth melts him. He feels his wayward course some, and knows he is liable to fall again. He is not yet converted to the truth. He feels the need of help. As God shows his case in vision, his unsubdued feelings arise. Oh, then, if there is a faithful, experienced friend near, he can help him so that he will be enabled to see the way God is working and the humble course he must take. But an independent, self-sufficient spirit comes over him.
Evil angels are tugging at his heartstrings, and Day and others help them. They whisper their suspicions and surmisings together. Evil reports are related by them both. They strengthen each other's hands. They love the lies they have heard. And as they journey to the Sutton Conference, such conversation as they have together, such evil communications. Angels heard it all, witnessed all. And it is written, to be met by them again. When they came to the Sutton meeting, they were no more prepared to work for God than while they were in sympathy with the messenger, party. The seeds of rebellion have sprung up within them and are now yielding a flourishing crop. Evil angels exulted over them. Satan triumphed. I saw other individuals also engaged in this work and affected by the spirit of death and Satan that has been at work. I saw that these individuals would never be entrusted with the care of the flock. If they can occupy a humble position, labor with their hands and take care of their own souls, and live a life of repentance till Jesus comes, they will do all that God requires of them. And if they seek meekness, seek righteousness, it may be they may be hid in the day of the Lord's fierce anger. I saw the cruel, wicked words Stephen Smith has spoken in his self-sufficient, reckless manner. Said the angel, God will not be trifled with. Will God select such changeable, wavering ones to lead his flock? Never. Never. God's wisdom is unsearchable, and he will not entrust the care of precious souls to those who are subject to erroneous, evil influences. God will entrust his flock only to those who have depth of experience, substantial souls of excellent judgment, who can see evil as it hangs over the flock, instead of being the first to plunge into it. I saw the individuals mentioned in this letter were looking to Battle Creek, and were jealous and suspicious of the work there, and were exciting prejudice in others' minds about the individuals there who have charge of the work. They would put their hands in to mold the work there. I saw that the captain of the Lord's host has charge of the work there, and that he watches over the individuals to whom this work is entrusted. And the Lord's captain needs not the interference of any of these individuals, who are like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro, subject to the influence of the evil angels. All heaven is interested in the important work at Battle Creek. Satan and his evil angels are arrayed against it, and men who will be co-workers with these evil angels are to be no judges about the work there. Ellen G. White Estate, Silver Spring, Maryland, April 18th, 1991. Entire letter.